Thank you for joining with us on this 13th day of August. Today we're going to finish reading the book of Isaiah. I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to Isaiah chapter 60. And we'll read through chapter 66. And let us remember, as always, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we don't just say these scriptures out of habit. We believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the scripture is literally God-breathed. We believe that this is divine revelation that God spoke to holy men of old. And they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we like to read from the King James translation of the scripture, because the King James translation of the scripture is a word-for-word literal translation of the Bible. And these men whom God used, they understood that their writings were being guided by the Holy Spirit of God, even as they wrote them. And yesterday, as we read in Isaiah chapter 55, God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And that's why we read from a literal, word-for-word translation. You know, there's all these paraphrases of the scripture, and maybe they have their place as a commentary, but they are not the literal, word-for-word words of God. And these publishers of these Living Bible translations, they say, "Well, we don't want to have a literal word-for-word translation. We want to give the thoughts of God." But they are in error here, because we don't know God's thoughts, because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Therefore, we must rely upon His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when these so-called scholars tamper with the Word of God and try to extract His thought instead of His words, they are making a big, big mess. The Apostle Peter said that we have a sure word of prophecy. And he said, "Wherefore you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And this is true also, not only of the Old Testament scriptures, but also of the writings of the New Testament, the writings of the apostles, the writing of the evangelist. And the Apostle Peter, speaking about the writings of the Apostle Paul, he said, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction." And I'm amazed. I hear Christian people, people that should know better, people who claim to be Bible-believing people, and I hear them rip apart the writings of the Apostle Paul as if the writings of the Apostle Paul was not Scripture. Yes, they were certainly Scripture. All of his epistles, and all of the epistles of all of the apostles, and of Luke, and of James, the brother of our Lord. And just because some of these things are hard to understand does not mean that we can twist them. And like I've heard people say, the writings of the Apostle Paul are unreliable. But we cannot make statements such as that, because those who tamper with the scripture, the Bible says they do so to their own destruction. "You, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And something is wrong if you are not growing daily in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us not be as those ignorant and unlearned, unstable. Let's not be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. We have the holy inspired word of God. And that's why we must depend upon a literal word for word translation of the scripture. And we believe in the inerrancy of the scripture. We don't believe in the inerrancy of any translation of the scripture, but we believe in the inerrancy of the original Hebrew and Greek manuscripts. And that's another reason why I like to read from the King James translation of the scripture, because you can get a Greek and Hebrew interlinear, and you can go back and look at every word and find the meaning of every word and where the King James translators messed up and made mistakes. You can go back to trusted scholars and see where that error was made and where the King James translators added words for the flow of proper English. They put those words in italics, so you know not to try to find that in the original Greek or in the original Hebrew, because it's not there, because that is an added word. That's why we read every day from the literal King James translation of the scripture. There's a reason for that. And yesterday in our reading, we read in Isaiah 58:3, the Israelite leaders, they complained to God and they said, "Wherefore have we fasted and you did not see? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and you have taken no knowledge?" And here these spiritual leaders of Israel, they accused God of not paying attention to what they were doing. They accused God of not honoring their fast. They were just wasting their time. And the Lord answered them. And he said, "In the day of your fast, you find pleasure, that is, you're seeking your own selfish interest, and you exact all your labors, that is, you exploit your laborers. You fast for, that is, you continue your strife and your debate, and you fight with the fist of wickedness." And that was their hypocrisy. And the Lord said, "That's not the kind of fast I have chosen. I don't bless a fast that is just meant to impress others with your pretended humility and holiness." That's hypocrisy. A true fast is not to impress those who might see you about how religious you are. But a true fast is to seek the will of the Lord through intercession. A true fast is to bring salvation to lost souls. Luke the evangelist, he recorded this parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican. Jesus said, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And that's what a true fast is all about. A true fast is to humble ourselves and bring about salvation to the lost, to bring about forgiveness of sin. That's the kind of fast that the Lord will accept, to loose the bands of the wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast off to thy house. When you see the naked, you cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And a true fast brings us to humility. We see our own self. You know, some people, everything they do is to be seen of men. But that's not the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian is to live our life to glorify our Heavenly Father. It's not to bring honor to ourselves. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Yesterday in our reading of the scripture, in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. That's why when Jesus was on the cross and he bore our sins in his own body, that's why the Father turned. And that's why Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because Jesus was made ugly by our sin. His outward appearance was marred more than any man has ever been marred because of our unrighteousness. As we'll read today, what our righteousness is like. "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat?" Isaiah the prophet said that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And that's what Adam and Eve was told. They told that if they disobeyed God, that they would die. And sure enough, immediately at their disobedience, they were separated from God. And the whole human race was brought into death. And by the way, that's why we believe the literal story of creation just as told in the book of Genesis. We do not believe in theistic evolution. We do not believe that there was any death upon this earth until sin came into this world. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And God makes it perfectly clear that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that man sinned in the garden is proved by the fact that now there is death on this earth. And where there is death, there is sin. Because death is the penalty for sin. And death, in a spiritual sense, does not mean annihilation. Death means separation from God. For the human, death means separation from our body. It does not mean annihilation of our soul and spirit. And thank God for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. The penalty of sin is broken, and there is no second death for the child of God. Yes, we will die physically unless Jesus comes again for us right now. But physical death is only the doorway for us to enter into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For one who believes in Jesus, the penalty of sin is broken. And when he comes again, which is the next event, is for him to come and take us out of this world. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The saints of God from all ages will rise first and meet him in the air. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and forever we shall be with the Lord. And that is the message of the gospel. This is the free favor, and this is the love of God, and this is the goodwill and the pleasure of God. This is the grace of God for him to bestow upon himself eternal life. And by the way, he did this for us while we were yet sinners. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's another reason why we believe in the rapture of the church before the tribulation period, because it's during the tribulation period that God is going to pour out his wrath upon all unbelievers upon this earth. And the reason why Christ on the cross was in such a terrible shape, so terrible that many were astonished at him, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. That is, he was buried in a rich man's tomb, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And that's why he looked so terrible upon that cross. Because sin is terrible. Sin is ugly. Sin is not a pretty sight. But Isaiah said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And he has cleansed us, he has washed us, he has sanctified us. He has bestowed this grace upon us because of his love, and because of his good will, and because of his pleasure. Not that we was deserving of any of this." Moses the prophet said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And Moses said, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen." And we were ugly, sinful people. Ezekiel the prophet gives us a picture of what we were. Isaiah the prophet gives us a picture of what we were. Isaiah, when he gives us a picture of Christ upon the cross, that is a picture of what we were in our sins. Ezekiel the prophet, he gives this description of what we were. "The word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is as of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast in the open field, to the disgust of thy person, in the day that thou was born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxing great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare." And that's the picture that Isaiah the prophet gives of us in our natural estate. That is not a pretty sight. A baby born, and the navel not being cut, neither being washed, neither being cleansed, neither being salted, neither being swallowed at all, but just pitched out in a field to die. Picture of a newborn baby thrown away by his mother. That's the picture of us when Christ saw us and redeemed us. "Now when I passed by thee and I looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over you, and I covered your nakedness. Yea, I swear unto you, and entered into a covenant with you, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I washed you with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. And I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod you with badger skin. And I girded you about with fine linen, and I covered you with silk. And I decked you also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon your hands, and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your forehead, and earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown upon your head. And you were decked with gold and silver, and your raiment was of fine linen, and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prepare into a kingdom." What a transformation! What mercy was shown upon this child that was thrown out to die, thrown away at birth. The navel wasn't even cut. The afterbirth wasn't even washed off. But when God passed by, he washed us, he cleansed us, he thoroughly washed away all of the flesh, blood, and he anointed us with oil, and he clothed us. "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." That newborn baby, left to die, had no beauty, had no comeliness, had nothing to attract. It was pitiful. It was disgusting. But God, for the glory of his own free grace and love, he has bestowed himself upon us by his free grace. And Ezekiel the prophet said, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh, that you may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. What beautiful language about the new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put their laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Think about this just a minute. Christ, who appeared to Moses when the mountain was on a smoke, and all the people at the base of the mountain trembled when God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger into the tablets of stone. He has taken that same finger and wrote his commandments in the tables of our own heart. It's the same Christ. It's the same will of God. It's the same word of God. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace like a river. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and read our scripture for today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you are the creator of the new heavens and the new earth that we're going to be reading about today. You are the one whose glory shall be revealed among all the nations. We worship you today. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of the man the things that you have prepared for them that love you. And we love you today. And we are anxiously awaiting the day when we can be 100% in your presence. Now bless us as we read your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art the potter, we are all the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. The holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Isaiah chapter 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves, and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence. but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forgot my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hand, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth, and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth, and shut the womb, saith God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, and all that mourn for her. that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled between her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They shall sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind me in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, and to Javan, and to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord, out of all nations upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And that completes our scripture reading for today. That completes the reading of the book of Isaiah. And tomorrow, if the Lord wills, we'll begin reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And let us remember, as always, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.